Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Glory to God. It's good to be back. I want to thank Brother Pat and all of you for being here last week. And hallelujah. It's nice to be able to leave. You guys know that? It's nice to be able to, because, you know, I trust God. I trust His people. I trust y'all. Hallelujah. So I think it's just such a comfort to trust God and the people that He's given us. And Brother Pat, I appreciate the word last week. Listen to the word. How many of you listen to the messages after service the next day or whatever, later on in a few days? I mean, I'll tell you what, I get blessed. And not that I'm such a good, I like listening to my own messages. I like critiquing them. I need to be critiquing them. I listened to Pat's message last week, and it was just wonderful. It's a good message. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, there's a lot of things going on. We got fires over here on our side of the country. We got an earthquake down in Central America. We got the hurricanes doing damage, has been doing damage for the last week. And so be praying for those folks. Is that okay? How many of you know we need to be praying? And also, we also need to be, if we can, I mean, there are all sorts of places out there where people are giving relief. So if you can, pray about it. I mean, God puts it on your heart. Give something. Go down there and give water bottles or anything, because, you know, those folks are going to need a lot of water. And down in Mexico, they need water. And I think I heard dog food somewhere along there. I mean, you know, animals got to eat too. So just be sensitive to what God's saying to you about what you might do for the world we live in. Amen. Aren't we supposed to be impacting the world, folks? We should be, and you know, and maybe, you know, later on, you know, we're only 3 years old, but maybe later on, when we get a little larger congregations, this church will be sending teams out wherever, you know, to go. I believe that is what God has called Christians to do, the body of Christ, and so be a giver, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. So my message today is, what did I call it? I can't remember. Yeah, steering through the storms. And, you know, we got lots of storms going on. But, folks, you know, a lot of times not only storms that are on the outside of us and you know, weather storms and fire storms, but there's also storms that we have to navigate in our own lives. How do you know that? Somebody gets very ill. Whatever those storms are, there's a reason why God has allowed those things into your life. Is that okay? I mean, I know that's kind of strange theology, but I believe that God, once you're born again, the Word of God says that all things are of God. And so I believe that God will speak to us in these things we go through. Is that okay? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you would, open your Bibles to, it's going to be Mark chapter 10. We're going to go to verses 46 through 52 to start off with. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, love God's Word. And, you know, I tell you, it never ceases to amaze me. How many of you know that it's important to pay attention to the small details of your life? Is that all right? I mean, how do you make your bed? Do you pick up your socks? I said, no, I'm sorry, babe. I don't pick up my socks very often. Hallelujah. But, you know, just small details. And, you know, and as I'm reading the Word of God, and it's funny, if you just pay attention to some of the small details that are in the story or whatever you're reading, it's amazing what God will show you if you let Him. Is that right? And that's so we're going to use this story. I mean, you might not see storms in this story. You might not see fire and earthquakes and tornadoes and stuff. But you're going to see that blind Bartimaeus was going through a storm. Okay, and his storm was he couldn't see. Okay, so I just want to set that up a little bit, let you know, hey, that's what we're talking about, storms, and we're looking at Bartimaeus this morning. Bartimaeus, and so let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we give you glory and honor for the word that you've given us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have preserved your word, Father God, for your people, Father God. You have told us that it is instruction for our righteousness, Lord, so that we might be thoroughly, completely, perfectly equipped. Father God, we thank you for the word of God. So, Lord, as we come into your word this morning, Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would quicken it, that you would inspire it, Father. Father, I place myself before you, Father. Give me words to speak that will inspire your people this morning. I thank you for it, Lord. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Starting at verse 46 says, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Man, I will tell you what I'm going to read. Oh, never mind. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that means great one, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received the sight. Hallelujah. I was down here the other day, and I like playing guitar by myself. You guys know, you guys are probably saying it's good that you do it by yourself. Because when I try to sing, it's kind of, you guys, some of you heard me sing, they say, oh boy, watch out. But I was down here, and I was reading these, and when it came to the part where he said, Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus! It wasn't just a little voice this man put out. It was a Jesus! I did it maybe two or three times. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. I probably did it two or three times. And that night when I went to play my guitar, I couldn't get the tone. My voice wouldn't react to where I wanted it to be. And I realized, you know what? Calling on Jesus has an effect on us. Is that right? Calling on Jesus. And, you know, and folks, I really believe that that's how Timaeus was calling out. It was a spectacular event, if you believe. You know what I mean? So much so, people began to say, shh, be quiet, man. Be quiet, dude. What's the matter with you, man? Shut up. But see, Bartimaeus was going through a storm. And you know, sometimes we're going through things, and man, and we might be saying some things, and you know, and we're talking about, you know, hey, you know what, I'm just going after Jesus or whatever. And people think, yeah, calm down, whatever, man. Be quiet. And folks, I'm gonna tell you something. When you're going through something, it's important that you set a focus on who you serve and begin to speak to him. Is that all right? Hallelujah. You know what I like about Bartimaeus was, you know, let me give you a scripture. Can you put up Matthew chapter 11, verse 12? Bartimaeus was, man, he was going after it. He was looking for a miracle. Is that right? He was looking for Jesus. Jesus said this in other places, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And this is what, as soon as I was reading this scripture, God spoke to my heart, the violent take it by force. Do you realize, Henry, that the violent take it by force? And I want to put up a couple of words, if you will. These are Greek words to show you what violent in violent. And, you know, a lot of times we think about just being violent as far as hurting people and stuff, you know, but there's also a violent that God's talking about. Violence means biazo. How you like my Greek? Biazo. Force or to crowd into. And then violent itself means biastes, a forcer or an energetic one. How many of you know the energetic people? Anybody know energetic people? Man, I tell you what, I know some energetic. And I like sitting back there praising God, man. And watching a lot, some of you just going, praise God. And that's okay. You see that? But there is something about forcing your way. Do you remember the lady that had the issue of blood? She was an energetic lady, even though she was weak, because she forced her way into where Jesus was. The Bible says that there was a great crowd around her, around Jesus. And she said within her heart, if I could just touch. There was something working within her that said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be healed. She said that to herself. She had gone to every doctor in the world at that time. I don't know if she went to U of A or, but she had gone out. She'd gone all over, and she forced her way in there. And you know, folks, that is what the Word of God is talking about. Someone that pushes in, crowds in, and gets a hold of what they need. This morning, while in one of the songs, my daughter said something about us going in and pressing in. Folks, that's what it takes. It takes a pressing in to get to the things of God and say, God, I'm here. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. I need your help. I'm going through a storm. Hallelujah. And I love Jesus when he's walking. And he hears him. You know what? He hears them. But folks, sometimes there's something that has to happen. This man's pressing in, but he's over there. Isn't that right? He's pressing in. But Jesus is walking. And the Bible just says that he stopped. People are telling him to be quiet. And Jesus said, bring him to me. So what those folks did, they say, hey, man, cheer up, dude. He's calling you. And folks, let me just tell you something. In your storm, if you will, there's a calling going on in there. Do you know that? Do you realize that? As a man or a woman of God, do you know that every time you're going through something, it doesn't, you know, storms can be different. Is that right? You can have, man, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. Like we have in Arizona, just 112 degree, 120 degree heat. To me, that's a storm. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to get inside, man. I ain't doing nothing out here. A headache, a sickness, a broken bone. There can be a lot of storms. And in every one of those storms, there's something that God is saying, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Come to me. I love it. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Storms. How many like storms? I mean, I like the monsoons. I mean, they're cool, man. I love it, man. Because we're Arizonans. You know, I mean, if you're in Washington, they come down here and they go, why are you so happy about the rain? I don't know. Storms can be events that are getting ready to happen. You know, storms like, war, any of those kind of things can be storms in your life. And I remember one time, you guys remember Y2K? Anybody? Nobody remembers Y2K? Yeah. No, nobody. Y2K. And somewhere in 1999 or maybe 98, there started coming out that every computer was going to fail because when the clock turned over 2000, something about the computers, which I do not understand computers to this day. Isn't that right, brother? I got no idea what it is. But anyway, so I wasn't too excited about it. So I'd gone over to visit in California. People were asking me, what are you going to do for Y2K? I go, don't know. Really don't know. And so went over to California. And while I was there, we were visiting some people with a pastor friend of mine. And they were talking, counseling the wife. And so her husband comes to me and says, come here, brother, let me show you something. I said, all right. So I go into one of his garages that he had there. The guy had looked like a pretty nice house. Opened up the door of this locker kind of, and there's hundreds of these, what they are, it's a water filter that you could go to any lake or anything and dip it in there and it'll purify the water for you. And he goes, and he looks at me, he goes, you're going to need these. Y2K is coming. And you're going to need water. I said, okay. And he goes, how many you want? And I go, free? He goes, no. I said, no, don't worry about it. I said, I don't think I need any. And so we talked about Y2K a little bit, and then later on we left. And while we were driving back, the pastor friend of mine asked me, he goes, hey, did he talk to you about Y2K? And I go, yeah. And he goes, what are you going to do? I said, me? I said, I can't do anything about it. I don't know what you want. He goes, no, I mean, have you asked God about it? I said, I really haven't. He said, well, you need to ask the Lord. So I come back, and that was on my heart. Lord, I'm going to find out what you got for me. Because there was people buying generators. Is that right? Water bottles, tons of water stored up, dry food. Is that right? And so I said, okay, Lord, I really don't know what you want me to do. So I began to ask him about it. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do about Y2K? I want to show you this. He took me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I just want to show you this something, because this was sort of a storm that people were expecting, and this is what everybody is warning everybody about, and a lot of people that I knew, brothers and sisters in the Lord, were preparing items for this cataclysmic event. Amen. Hallelujah. And here's what the Word of God says. When I was praying about it, I was going after God. I said, God, you need to tell me. What do you want me to do? What is it? And I think I was in there so long with him, just talking to him about it, that he finally said, hey, I want you to read this. And it says this, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven, also to eight, for you know not what evil will be on the earth. Is that good advice? Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's good advice. What he's saying is to give. Do you realize that giving is, it really is a response to something that's within your heart? And when you do that, the Word of God says, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Doesn't say when it's going to happen, is that right? But it just says it will happen because you're giving with a giving heart. There is something about folks that when their heart speaks to them, they say, we want to give. See, that's not a natural event. How many of you know that? That's really not. That is a spiritual event. That is God saying something to your heart, saying you need to give. And that's what's really nice about it. If you respond to it, it places you in a position of blessing. Do you understand that? And folks, don't worry. I know a lot of your wallets are starting to shake right now. I'm not going to take an offering. I'm not doing that. Uh-oh, he's going after money. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, This is what God's word was. He says this. He says, give and a serving to seven, also to eight, for you know not what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. Do you hear these? These are instructions. He that observes the wind won't sow. Oh, I can't plant seeds today, because it's too windy. If I drop the seed, it's going to blow away. Well, dude, you can bend over, poke a hole, and plant it. Is that right? Cover it up, and it won't blow away. But, you know, there's wisdom in these things. He says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of, I'm sorry, of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. How many, everybody say everything. Everything. God makes everything. Is that what it says? You don't, God makes everything. It says, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Man, I got such a charge out of this. I said, man, I know what I'm doing for Y2K. I said, you storing up water? Nope. You buying a generator? Nope, I can't afford a generator. I'll tell you what I can't afford to do. I'm going to give. We'll give in our church, begin to just give. Well, you know what? We're going to give our tithes. We're going to give a little above. We're going to go on past that. We're going to, you know, let's give. Somebody needs money, let's give it to them. Give a portion to seven and even to eight. And know this, that your giving will return to you. Is that right? Folks, let me just tell you, I am giving you good advice for what's coming. Amen. Do you hear me? This is good advice. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. And it's an incredible place to be. A place of obedience. A place where he's spoken to your heart, said, give. Hallelujah. Folks, You can store up all you you can store up all the dry goods, all the water, and all the things. But you know, I don't see that when Elijah was in the desert. Do you remember when Elijah was in the desert? He didn't carry a bunch of food around with him, didn't have a lot of water. God positioned him next to a river. And then the word of God says this. Some of you might not believe it, but I believe it. The ravens fed him. You know that? Ravens fed him. Every morning they dropped the Burger King in on him. Come on. Taco Bell. Isn't that right, Oscar? Taco Bell. Praise God. Those ravens. Of all the birds to feed him, you know ravens are kind of dirty birds? Yeah. Of all the birds to feed him, you would think, you know, he said, I'm going to have the birds feed you. He said, that's a raven, man. They won't share nothing with me. Boom. Taco Bell. Come on. Come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know that God is faithful to you? Do you know that you do not have to fear about the things that you see coming upon the earth? Do you know that? Are you confident in God that who he is in your life? He says he'll take you through every storm. Is that okay? Amen. It's just who he is. Let's talk about when you're in a storm. Could I get you to put up number one? When you're in a storm. Hallelujah. Best thing to do. Call on Jesus. Amen. Is that right? Yeah. Let me tell you the first thing you need to do. It's call on Jesus. Is that right? How many of you know that Jesus, I mean, the word of God tells us that he's with us. Is that right? The word says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that correct? Yes. That's what he says. He says, I am with you. Behold, I'm going to be with you even to the end of the world. Even, all the way. He's always with you. So the first place, when you run into a storm, call on Jesus. Can we look at Psalm 50 verse 15? It says, call upon me. This is the word of God. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will what? Do you think that's true? He says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Hallelujah. Now listen, folks. Listen. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Doesn't mean as soon as you call on him, it's going to happen. Is that okay? Know this, that God calls us to wait on him. Is that right? What does wait mean? Wait. What does it mean? It means to wait. You know, the Bible says, you know the word for patience? You know what the word for patience is? The Greek word is hupomone. Hupomone. I'm not real good at Greek, but hupomone. And the only way I can remember it, because my daughter used to shoot baskets a lot, and she could make a bunch of them one after the other, and I used to think, hoops for money. So that's how I remember hupomone. Hoops. Yeah. You gotta apply everything to something like this. Anyway, folks, hupomone, you know what it means? It means a patient, constant standing under. A patient, constant standing under. You might say standing under what? A promise. How about a promise? A patient, constant standing under a promise. So when he says something like this, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. He's not messing around with it. He's telling you the truth. I will deliver you. Be patient. Be patient. God knows where you're at. He knows how hard it is. Be patient with God. Just wait on him. Is that everybody say wait? Wait. Wait. He says wait. It says, and then he says, and you shall glorify me. What does that mean? What does that mean? You're going to get an answer. Is that right? It will come to you. And you will glorify me. That's the word of God. I'm glad that I didn't make you these promises. Isn't that right? Because I don't know what to do for you. Some of you, I don't know what to do. No, I'm just kidding. I tell you, that's a promise from God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And I will. And answer, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So call upon the Lord. Call on him. He doesn't mind. You can call on him anytime. He's not busy. Is that right? Well, he's busy. I'm sure he's busy. With me, he's busy. Not again, Henry. No. Come on, man. Call upon him and he will answer you. Praise God. Number two, Hallelujah. Number two says it says go to God's word. How many know there's a place that, you know, when you're waiting for God, you know, one of the ways God can tell you're waiting for him is like you've been praying to him, you're talking to him. Another way you can show him that you're waiting is you're going to his word and say, Lord, I'm gonna wait for you because I know that there's a word in here that you will speak. You know that God wants to speak a word to you? He really does. He really wants to say something to you concerning what you're going through. He will. That's what happened with Y2K with me. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. How do you know that? Y2K turned out to be, what was it? But yet, I was asking because there was something within me that was saying, God, I just need to know. And he answered me. So all that giving, you got to keep it. Hey, man. Oh, wait a minute. I need my money back. And Y2K is not happening. No, man, it's not that way. So number two, hey, go to the word. Allow scriptures to address your situation. It's awesome. Because God will address your situation. Can we put up the scripture? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "Is all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable." Everybody say profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is that what the word of God says? Know that. So know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You hear that? Everything that's in that Bible that you're sitting on your lap or at home, some of you, or in your phone, it's okay. All that is given by inspiration of God, is what the word of God says. Folks, why would we go anywhere else? Amen. Why? Do you know that Jesus, even before he started his ministry, when he went and was tempted in the devil for how many days? 40 days. And when the enemy came and was talking to him, what did Jesus use? He used the word. It's written. Over and over again, it's written. It's written. It is written. Even Jesus knew, hey, the word. And he knew the power that was behind it. And you know when he started his ministry, what did he say? Do you remember what he said? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember that? The word of God. That was Isaiah 61, I think. I don't think I gave that to you. Did I give you Isaiah 61? Can you get Isaiah 61 verse 1 up? 1, 2, and 3, I think it is. Sorry. Just one of them things. The Lord says, hey, man, put this up. We're going to get it up. Amen. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Do you realize this is what Jesus was saying? This is what the Word of God, this is what he said to the Jewish guys in the synagogue that day he got up to read. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of God, of the Lord. And he skipped this part, remember? He kind of skipped, and the day of vengeance of our God. And then he says, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be what? Glorified. Even Jesus used the word of God. And folks, and for us not to go to the word of God, something's going on. Is that right? We need to realize and put our trust that God has given us all scriptures given for inspiration, that you might be thoroughly furnished unto all things. Is that okay? Thoroughly furnished. Ooh, man. Do you realize how much God wants to make sure that you're furnished with what you need? Hallelujah. So everything that you go through, everything you need to go to the Word of God and see what God is saying about it. You can come to me, but I'm not God. God wants to talk to you personally. He wants to have a communion with you. You can go to your best friend. He's been a Christian all his life. But what if God wants to say something to you? So go to his word. Let him speak. Let the scriptures address your situation. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Number three. Oh, I like this. Do what you hear. Is that okay? That's good, isn't it? Okay, we're done. do what you hear. Just do what you hear. Because God's going to speak to you in those scriptures. Let's put up James. Watch this. Oh boy. Got to get my eye focused. Here we go. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. What? Yeah. And receive with meekness the implanted word. Do you hear that? You see that? God is trying to get a word into you. So get rid of all that other stuff and then receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. How many of you know when you're in a storm, what are you asking for? God, save me. Get me out of this thing, Lord. Hallelujah. Show me what I need to do. Hallelujah. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. I like this part. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I want to say, let me just put this to you, say this to you this way. Hey, when God speaks something to you, you see something in the word, and he speaks something to you, and you're going to feel him speaking to you. I guarantee you're going to know it's him. Because he's going to address some of those. He's going to address, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. He's going to address those things. Lay aside all filthiness. Let's just say you just got some sticky fingers. Anybody got sticky fingers in the house? Because I don't want to offend you. Anyway, you like walking by a supermarket and just grabbing something and tossing it under your armpit and walking out with it? No? Nobody in here like that. Great. Praise God. Let's just say, he says, you know what? Get rid of that. Get rid of that and receive the word of God, which the word of God says, you know, there will be no thieves allowed in heaven. How do you know that? The word of God tells you that. So what you do is you take on the word of God and you quit doing what you're doing. You be a doer of what you heard. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So there's a lot of things in the word of God that's going to speak to you personally. That's what it's for. Do you see where it says it's a mirror? You're going to be looking in there. And folks, I'm going to say, if your heart is after God and you want and you desire for God to do things in your life, when you're reading the word of God, you're going to see something about me. Close the book, put it away. No. You're going to see something about you because God is saying something to you. When you read the scriptures about Jesus, how many like reading about Jesus? Man, my favorite subject in the Bible is Jesus. I look for him all over the Bible. And being that I'm looking for him, a lot of times I find him. I find him in Deuteronomy. I find him in Genesis. I find him all over the place. He is my grand subject. Do you guys get that? How many of you like that one? How many of you like that? Jesus is the focus of my... And the word of God tells me that my life is to be an imprint or an image of Christ. Is that okay? So a lot of times, because that desire is in my heart, when I'm reading the word of God, I'm looking at go, oh man, Jesus, I'm so far from this. Lord, help me. Show me what I can do. And you know what? The Lord will do it. I used to be a guy who used to throw lawnmowers. You guys know that, right? I had an anger problem. Used to get so angry that I would toss lawnmowers over. I had a brand new, it was a Snap-on Impact. Anybody Snap-on? Anybody know Snap-on? Snap-on is an expensive tool. It's not one that my wife liked to get for me. It's okay, because the truck would pull in, I'd get it, and she didn't know about it. Till I got paid. But I had a brand new Snap-on Impact, and I was working on a transmission underneath, the car's up in the air, and there's this what they call a valley bolt. I'm going to describe this to you. How many of you guys are interested in a valley bolt? Yeah, three of you. Okay, well, the rest of you are going to have to listen. Yeah, just kidding. The transmission on this particular car went up and round to bolt to the engine, and it had this little dip in it. Right in the middle of that dip was a bolt. And you cannot get to it with a wrench. Just can't. You have to use a long extension on an impact. You got to have a wobbly, what they call, or a universal socket that would go up there and bend in there to get to that bolt. And then you had to try to run it off. You could do it with a ratchet on the end of that thing, but You know, nobody wants to do that. I wanted to use my impact. It was brand new. I hit that thing. Had to go find my socket. Flew off of there. Had to go. Tried it again. Something else happened. Tried it again. The extension come out. By this time, I'm steaming. Right? Man, you're stupid. No. And I grabbed that impact. It's on a hose. And I just spun it around like that to set it down. But I didn't set it down. I threw it down. And it broke. My boss told me, you do that enough times, you're going to run out of money. Yeah. Because, man, that thing, they're not going to warranty that. They won't warranty that. And so I had an anger problem. And I began to ask God, God, what's going on? God, how can I would tell God when I'd get mad, I'd tell God, I'm just frustrated. I'm not. Because God would say to me, you've got an anger problem. You know what I mean? Howard. He'd say, you got an anger problem. I said, no, I'm just frustrated. Till I was mowing my lawn and trying to, it was monsoon season, and I had grass that was about this high, and I had an old Craftsman lawnmower that was on its last leg. So in order to cut the grass, I had to cut little pieces about that long because it was not doing really well. And trying to hurry up, people were coming over, and it kept dying on me. And I finally got so mad at it, man, I grabbed it, and I just started spinning a circle with it. It's a good thing I don't have a wire on me. Just started spinning a circle, and I got that lawnmower floating about this high, and then tossed it over my fence, a barbed wire fence. And when it landed, it broke all the plastic wheels that were on it. And I go, good! And the Lord said to me, you got an anger problem. And I turned and I said, I don't have an anger problem. And I turned around. My son was right there backing up, pulling a little car, little train that he had. And if I would have gone one more time around, I realized I would have hit him. And it scared me. And that's when I said, Lord, I've got an anger problem. And God began, by his word, began to speak to me. Do you know that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God? Do you know that? That's what James says. Your anger does not do any good for the kingdom or for you, especially for you. So the word of God says to be a doer of the word. So when I began to look at these things, I said, okay, I began to agree with God. Yeah, I'm an angry man. He began to word after word after word. And now I'm just as mellow as a cat, right? No, I'm you think, you just don't know me. That's Rosie. Hallelujah. But you know, let me tell you something. God took me from that level way down here because I needed it. I needed change. How many of you know that you need change? You know, it's people that think they don't need change. That's the one you got to be careful, man. If you don't think you need change, let me just say this to you. Call on God, man. I'll tell you, man. But how many know, folks, change is good for us. God is trying to get us to a point of something in our life. Is that right? That's number three. Do what you hear. Number four, check your attitude. Is that right? How many know that? How many know that storms can cause our attitude to go to do this, up and down, up and down? Do you know that? Especially if it's a lengthy storm. That storm will cause your emotions and your feelings will be woo, good, bad, good, bad. And so it's important that while we're in a storm, you constantly check your attitude. Here's the word of God. It says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says through 18 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. This is one I want to get to. Always pursue what is good. All right? Everybody say, always pursue what is good. Always pursue what's good. All right? Both for yourselves and for all. And then it says, rejoice always. How do you like that? In your storm, what? Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without what? Ceasing. Hallelujah. How many of you like praying without ceasing? How many pray without ceasing? Let me just say that you don't have to put your hands up, but I can tell you that I do not, I've said this before, I can't get from this door out to the end of that parking lot praying with what I think. with the things that I know. I know that. I mean, I can try to dream up things, or I could go into the repeating the things I just prayed. But I run out of things to pray. But let me just tell you, that's why the Bible says that God gives you the Holy Spirit, so that you can pray as you can pray according to the will of God. And praying in the Spirit, I will tell you, will take you into an avenue where you can pray without ceasing. And that's what he's talking about here. Pray without ceasing. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Allow, open that window. Folks, a lot of folks don't, and it's okay. A lot of folks haven't stepped into this yet, and that's okay. But ask God about it. Speak to him about it. Check the word. Look in there and say, hey, God, what do you say about the Holy Ghost? What do you say about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why is it? Why is it needed for today? I'm telling you, these are the days that if you ever need anything, you need to be able to pray without ceasing. It's awesome, man. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. And then it says this, in everything give what? Thanks. Remember I said to check your attitude? You got to check your attitude and everything. You know, folks, we have this propensity. We have this something within us that wants to, you know what? I want to tell my problem to everybody. Is that right? Isn't that correct? We want everybody to know about it. And let me just ask you, really, really, when you go, you tell this person, you tell this other person, you come to pastor and you talk to pastor about it, you go to pastor's wife, you go to everybody, does it make you feel any better? Absolutely. Because when you rehearse that thing and rehearse that thing and rehearse that thing, you know what? It's not good for you. It really isn't. The Word of God tells us right here to pray without ceasing, and then he says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. That's a good word right there, bro. It's God's will that you give thanks for everything. Everything, even the storm. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this storm, because I know you're going to take me out, and I'm going to have something worth of value. Value is going to come to me because of what I learned in this thing. Hallelujah. It's awesome. That's just the way God is. He's trying to build you and strengthen you. Hallelujah. Because, folks, storms will come. Is that right? He never promised us that if we gave our hearts to the Lord, that it would be an easy road. Is that right? Didn't promise that. There's even a place, oh, man, we're talking about the other day, and I can't remember where it's at. But it says that Peter had asked Jesus, hey, we've given up everything to follow you, Lord. And then Jesus tells him something like, he goes, if anybody has given up family, moms, dads, children, whatever, to follow me, he said he will be rewarded in this life. And in this life, he'll have children, family. I can't remember all this. But then he throws this word in there, with persecutions. And I go, oh, man. I said, a lot of times we think that, you know, all these things are going to come easy. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Life with Christ, Jesus said, if they love me, they're going to hate you. I mean, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Is that right? So get ready. It's okay. In everything, give thanks. I lost my scriptures. Hallelujah. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Four things. I like being real simple. I'm going to give you just those four things. Is that okay? Just four things. Number one, call on Jesus. Number two, go to God's word. Number three, do what you hear. And number four, check your attitude. Hallelujah. Check your attitude. You guys ever met a teenager with attitude? Buddy, let me tell you. Hallelujah. Check your attitude, man. Hey. It's getting smaller though, isn't it? Oh, I'll tell you, my granddaughter's got some attitude. Isn't that right? She comes up with the craziest thing. We were at Legoland, I think it was, and we'd taken her on this roller coaster. You want to go on the roller? Yeah. She wanted to go, but it was a little faster than she expected. Is that all right? So we did the first hill. Boom! Went down, and she freaked out. And then when it come up to a little flat space, it was getting ready to go down another hill. She goes, tell them to turn it off. I said, I'm sorry, Mia. We're going to have to ride it out. And you know what she said? Can you call somebody? I love it, man. We laughed. I said, no, we can't. We're going to have to ride it out. Folks, that's your storm. Just ride it out. Just ride it out. God's gonna take you, and He's gonna allow you to come out of it, and you'll be okay. You know that? How you know? My granddad said, "Hey, did you like that?" No. I said, "You're okay though, aren't you?" No. It was. Oh man. Praise God. Listen, check your attitude. Attitude, not aptitude, determines your altitude, because God wants to get you through that. And He'll take you over the storm. He'll put you over the storm. Even when it's hurting, He'll put you over the storm. Rise above your storm. Be of good cheer. I want to just, last scripture, I just want to give you Mark chapter 10, verse 50. This is one of those little parts that I just really liked. And when you look at this, when blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was calling for him, the Bible says this, throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And just so much stuff that God began to speak to me about this, but let me just say this to you. God has a garment for you. Do you know that? The garment that He wants to put on you is a garment of praise. It is a garment of righteousness. It's a garment of purity. Do you know that? And there has to be a release of the old garment. You know what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? When He got up, He's blind. He's blind as a bat. He gets up. And he pulls his garment and he tosses it off and he goes, and wherever Jesus, I don't know, maybe they probably had to lead him, but anyway, he goes over and he makes it to Jesus and he gets exactly what he asked for, that I might, and see, now all of a sudden, he's a new man. Is that right? His storm has ended and now he's a new man. See, I'm going to tell you something, when God comes into your life, folks, it's time to get rid of the old garment. Absolutely. Every aspect of it. Don't allow any part of the old garment to hang around your house. As soon as it shows its face, and folks, let me tell you, that's what little trials and little temptations do for you. They expose that old garment that's still in your life. Do you know that? It'd be nice if as soon as we gave our hearts to the Lord, that we'd be done. Is that right? Check me, Lord. I think I'm done. Yeah. And then you can say, well, okay, since got nothing else to do, just come on home. No, but you know, when you get saved, there's a lot of stuff within us. Is that right? There's a lot of cochinera. Is that right? Did I say that right, Justin? There's a lot of cochinero. That means stinky stuff. There's stuff in there that needs to be taken out. There's a lot. Did I say that, John?
Yes.
Yeah, did I? There's a lot of it. And God, and what happens, see, what God is doing is when you're walking, see, He's washed your sins away. He's washed them and He's made you clean. You're a new man. But things, cochineros come up, man. And when it does, man, God is saying, look, I want to work with you in this. Henry, I want to take the anger out of you. Is that okay? Ah, I'm just frustrated. See, that's what, do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? God is desiring to bring a purity into our lives. Allow it to happen. Just allow it. And you watch what He does. Because when that purity becomes in and it begins to settle in, God says, now let me show you what your purpose is. Now let me show you the design I created specifically for you, young man, young lady, young man, young lady, young man, young lady. Let me show you what I've done for you. Hallelujah. God has purposed things in our life. And folks, we've got to get rid of the old garment. We really do. And any aspect that comes, it shows up, say, hey, man, I threw that off a long time ago. I threw it off. When I gave Jesus my heart, when I was born again, I threw that garment away. So, no, you can't. No place for you here. Amen. No home, no place, no room in the inn for that. Amen. Praise God, because Jesus is already in the inn. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Would you stand?